It's Thursday, April 8th. Presidents don't reform gun laws. People in Congress reform gun laws. We start here. President Biden is ready to take action targeting guns, but how much can he actually accomplish?
Really, what they're saying is, here, states, this is what it could look like if you go and do this.
We'll go over the options he's got his sights on. The freak accident that nearly killed one of the world's greatest athletes might have been more straightforward than you think.
He never once touched the brakes, Brad. I mean, not a tap.
New details on Tiger Woods. And if he was being targeted by the Biden Justice Department, why did he seek a pardon from Trump?
It went through the front door at 1600, quickly rejected.
Could sex trafficking charges still be on the table for Congressman Matt Gaetz? From ABC News, this is Start Here. I'm Brad Milkey. If there's a question of the year for the Biden administration, it's how big can you go? This was the question on COVID relief. The answer was a $1.9 trillion rescue bill, which is really big. It'll continue to be the question for an even more gargantuan infrastructure plan.
We'll be open to good ideas and good faith negotiations. But here's what we won't be open to. We will not be open to doing nothing.
Well, last night, the White House announced that President Biden will now take initiative on another major flashpoint from his first few months in office.
A deadly rampage in a grocery store in Boulder, Colorado.
Tragic news, the deadly shootings in Atlanta, killing at least 8 people.
Begin with that awful mass shooting, the third now in less than 3 weeks in this country. This time at an office complex in Orange, California, 5 shot. 4 people killed, including a 9-year-old boy.
Later today, President Biden will take his first steps towards perhaps, maybe, limiting certain types of gun sales. But the question of the year, how big can you actually go? Let's go straight to ABC's Karen Travers, who covers the White House. Karen, you got the lowdown from officials. What's the plan today?
Yeah, the White House is calling this initial actions on gun control, Brad. And that's kind of indicating that these are small baby steps, but also signaling that there's more to come. But what we are realizing, and with what the White House is going to do today, is that it's really hard to take executive actions, to do anything through the White House on guns and actually make it stick and actually make a difference. But a couple of the key highlights.
A new revelation today about the firearm used in the Santa Clarita High School shooting that left 2 students dead. It was homemade and untraceable, known by some as a ghost gun.
The Justice Department within 30 days is going to issue a proposed rule to help stop what are called ghost guns.
Pretty much anyone with a couple $100 can buy what's called a ghost gun online. Within 4 hours, we built a semi-automatic firearm right here in the office.
They don't have serial numbers and they're very difficult to track. The Justice Department is also going to issue a rule within 60 days to make it clear that when you take something that's marketed as a stabilizing brace, as the White House puts it, where you can turn a pistol into a short-barreled rifle, that firearm going forward would be subject to requirements under the National Firearms Act. So they're trying to tighten up some of the restrictions there.
This morning, ABC News has learned the gunman in the Odessa, Texas mass shooting failed a federal background gun check because he had been clinically diagnosed as being mentally ill.
Another thing the Justice Department is going to do is put together a model of red flag legislation for states. This would allow police or family members to go to state courts and petition to temporarily remove firearms from people who are in some sort of crisis, somebody that's presenting a danger to themselves or others.
A neighbor says she too had called police on the tour for his troubling behavior, saying he was firing his gun late at night. She told us in Spanish she called the cops, but they never came.
But this is not something that the administration can do on their own. The president's expected to urge Congress to pass legislation that creates a national red flag law. But really what they're saying is, here, states, this is what it could look like if you go and do this.
Right. Like, if you actually want to take significant action on gun, we haven't seen bump stock bans. After the Las mm-hmm. Vegas shooting, President Trump promised he would ban them. He actually did direct his federal agencies to, but then that got held up in courts. I mean, if you wanted to do something even more significant, ban assault rifle sales or something, that would clearly require Congress. Like, the president cannot do that.
Yeah, and those are the big thing that the president, as a candidate, was talking about. I mean, he campaigned on a pledge to make gun control reforms a top priority.
What will you do to stop the sale of guns to unfit individuals and to protect high schoolers like me from this school shooting epidemic?
It's going to change.
He was talking about banning the production of assault weapons or requiring registration for some guns.
Who in God's name needs a weapon that can handle 100 rounds? For God's sake.
Limiting gun purchases to one per month and ending all online gun sales. Gun control advocates looked at that back during the campaign and thought these were steps that the administration was going to take, that the Biden White House would take this very seriously.
What happens in this committee after every mass shooting is Democrats propose taking away guns from law-abiding citizens because that's their political objective.
But the reality is they're running up against the brick wall that is Congress. You know, you've got the Democrats now controlling the House and the Senate, but the reality is it's really going to be stuck on the Senate side
but,
of this.
But Karen, like, just so we're clear, like, he could, like, we see what it looks like when the White House is really pushing every Democrat on Capitol Hill and every Republican. Like, it looks like what we're seeing with this infrastructure plan. That shows priorities, right? That does not look like what's happening here. Or is it just that you need a different vote total when we're talking about guns?
You do need a different vote total because, you know, our favorite word in Washington, reconciliation, where you lower that threshold, you know, you bring that down from the magic number of 60 to a simple majority. That wouldn't be at play here. So you do need to get Republicans on board with this, 10 Republicans in the Senate, to move forward any gun control legislation.
But Congress did its job this week. And I can and I must ask them to do it again next year.
But your point, though, is important because we saw the president promise on day one to get a COVID relief plan to Congress, that this was going to be the top priority as soon as he took office.
Tonight, I'll lay out my first step, the American Rescue Plan.
And they did that. They put together the proposal, they sent it up there, and they say, now start working this out. We're seeing that with an infrastructure plan, the framework of what legislation would look like.
Mr. President, are you willing to go lower than the 28% corporate tax rate?
I'm willing to listen to that. I'm wide open to, but we got to pay for this.
Then they send it up to the Hill, and the Hill starts working out the nuts and bolts.
We were talking yesterday about executive action on gun reform. Mm-hmm. The president also was making it clear he wanted to see Congress act.
Yes.
Several times.
Yes.
And it was a couple of weeks ago, after the Boulder, Colorado shooting, I asked White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki, why not send Congress a package on gun control, on gun reforms?
Would this be something that could originate here and not wait for Congress to move?
You know, Karen, I think it's a great question. There's obviously a lot of pieces of legislation that have been proposed. There's these two,
but the White House says it's up to Congress to get this ball moving. Congress needs to act.
What our team is looking at now is what is the legislation that's out there? Are there any gaps that need to be filled? Policies or proposals that have been introduced in the past that could be reintroduced. So I don't have anything to predict for you on whether there'd be something independent. I think we're looking at what.
And the White House for weeks now has said they're not going to do that.
Yeah, Biden himself said at that big press conference a while back that the priorities, the order in which you attack things really do matter. All right, Karen Drivers covering the White House. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Brad.
Next up on Start Here, a flipped car, a crushed frame, and it could have been way worse. How the Tiger Woods crash really played out after the break.
With daylight saving time upon us, we're looking forward to more daylight and longer days from March through November, and while setting our clocks forward gives us the illusion of more time, it doesn't necessarily help businesses find qualified candidates any sooner. Fear not, there is a solution. ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter is your 24/7 hiring partner working tirelessly to connect you with the right candidate. Once you post your job on ZipRecruiter, it gets distributed to over 100 job sites, ensuring you reach a diverse pool of qualified individuals. Their smart technology scans thousands of resumes, matching you with people whose skills perfectly align with your job requirements. Spring forward with a new hiring partner, ZipRecruiter, and find top talent sooner. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address to try ZipRecruiter for free, ZipRecruiter.com/start here. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/start here. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Have you ever wondered what you would do with an extra hour in your day? I think about this all the time. I'm like, I would be so productive. I'd exercise more, or I'd read a book, or I'd take a nap, like restore myself. We often find ourselves yearning for these extra hours, but the real question is, what would you do if you were making yourself a priority? Well, how about therapy? It can help you discover what's important so you can make the most of your time. If you've ever benefited from therapy, you know how transformative it can be. It's not just for those who have experienced major trauma. Therapy empowers you to learn positive coping skills, set boundaries, and become the best version of yourself. If you're considering starting therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and tailored to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire. You'll be matched with a licensed therapist. And here's the beauty of it. You can switch therapists if you're not finding the right fit. No additional charge. Take the first step. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/start here today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/start here.
I made the determination that it would be safer to wait for LA County Fire to help remove him instead of trying to remove him myself.
When a Los Angeles deputy arrived on the scene of a car crash earlier this year, it looked real bad. An SUV on its side, window shattered, front completely crunched in. And that was before that deputy asked the driver his name.
I asked him what his name was. He told me his name was Tiger. And at that moment, I immediately recognized him.
Tiger Woods very nearly died that day. It's still unclear what the rest of his life is even going to look like, but the sheriff's department has now laid out details as to how this all happened. And when you hear them, it's actually even more shocking that he did survive. ABC's chief national correspondent Matt Gutman is in Los Angeles. He's actually at the scene of February's crash right now. And Matt, I mean, what did we learn from LA sheriffs yesterday?
I think exactly what you just said. It is almost shocking, miraculous that Tiger Woods is alive, right? I'm actually on that street. We're on a curve in this two-lane sort of semi-urban highway, eucalyptus trees hanging over it.
The primary causal factor for this traffic collision was driving at a speed unsafe for the road conditions and the inability to negotiate the curve of the roadway.
Speed limit's 45 miles per hour. Tiger Woods was going up to 87 miles an hour.
And the final estimated speed when the vehicle struck the tree was 75 miles per hour.
And according to the so-called black box, the data recorder in his SUV, he never once touched the brakes, Brad. I mean, not a tap.
A second reading of this event data recorder is the acceleration pedal percentage.
And according to the police investigators, instead of depressing the brake pedal, he slammed on the accelerator, 99% depressed.
This measurement was at 99% at the area of impact, at all the area of impacts of the collision.
So basically, literally, the pedal was to the metal. As he was crashing, he flew over the median here to my left, launched into the other side of the street.
The impact of the vehicle when it hit the tree caused the vehicle to go airborne and do a somewhat pirouette, landing on its side.
So the fact that Tiger Woods survived with, you know, granted, very badly broken legs that require significant surgery, still, many people would not survive this type of crash.
But wait, so, like, I'm sorry, was he speeding then? Like, what was the cause of the actual accident? Was it just that he didn't know the car very well, or was there something, like, was he at fault for this?
Well, the police say that speeding was the only cause that they can discern for the crash. They did not smell alcohol on his breath, and nor did they see, according to them, any medications or pills, illicit or legal, on the floor or anywhere in the car that was visible. So it did not appear to them at the outset that he was intoxicated or under the influence.
A lot of experts who claimed, or drug recognition people said, oh, they should have drawn blood or done this or done that. And without the signs of impairment, we don't get to the point where we can actually author a search warrant and develop the probable cause to get that.
So pretty quickly they ruled that out, but they did not take a toxicology exam of him. There's no blood tested. They did not check his phone, so we don't know if he was texting or not. So we don't know what he was doing and why he was driving that fast on this road. We know he was driving to a shoot.
He made complete stops at two stop signs and stop for a traffic signal before entering the highway.
But this is known, maybe not to Tiger Woods, but certainly to local law enforcement, this is known as one of the most dangerous stretches of roads here in Los Angeles County. Just over the past 13 months from January 2020 to February 2021, there were 13 accidents, four of them with injuries. So, you know, it's certainly not the safest road out there.
And yet, I can't imagine that any one of those victims and accidents is going to get nearly the same kind of scrutiny, kind of medical treatment, or kind of, I guess, legal questions that Tiger Woods is about to.
Yeah, there are two ways to look at this. One is, well, Tiger Woods must have gotten preferential treatment, right? He didn't even get a citation? 87 and a 45? Come on! Yes, okay, but, you know, police say that there were no witnesses, no cameras, no police officers here to actually witness the said violation. But I think people are going to interpret it either way, however they're inclined to think about Mr. Tiger Woods.
All right, Matt Gutman, they're on the scene of the crash these months later. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Brad.
Last week, a Republican congressman went on Fox News to defend himself against what he called baseless accusations. This is not how you might have expected that interview on Fox to end.
If you just saw our Matt Gaetz interview, that was one of the weirdest interviews I've ever conducted.
That was Tucker Carlson, absolutely perplexed after asking Representative Matt Gaetz some basic questions about new reporting from the New York Times, which was then confirmed by ABC News, that the FBI was investigating whether he had had a sexual relationship with a 17-year-old girl or even trafficked her across state lines.
How long has this investigation been going on, do you know?
I don't know.
When were you first informed of it?
I really saw this as a deeply troubling challenge for my family on March 16th when people were, you know, talking about a minor and that there were pictures of me with child prostitutes. That's obviously false.
Sources have told ABC's John Santucci that well before March, in fact, when Donald Trump was still president, Congressman Matt Gaetz from Florida was already seeking a pardon. Let's get caught up with John now, because, John, this is moving. We first heard about the pardon thing from the Times. Gaetz has obviously not been pardoned, right? So where does the investigation stand?
Well, the investigation's been going on for some time. And here's the thing about the investigation, Brad. It actually began under Donald Trump's reign. It was under Attorney General Bill Barr that the investigation actually was launched in the summer of 2020. So this began under Republican control of the Department of Justice.
It is a horrible allegation, and it is a lie. The New York Times is running a story that I have traveled with a 17-year-old woman, and that is verifiably false. People can look at my travel records and see that that is not the case.
What we know is that multiple witnesses have been called in for interviews. We know the documents have been requested. We know that staffers are still being contacted, still being asked for interviews and information. But this involves several different aspects. An inappropriate relationship being one. And then travel. Transport, and that's where this charge or allegation of human trafficking comes in, because if Matt Gaetz took a minor, paid for her travel, that's where this rises to a whole nother level, Brad.
Right, that's the stuff that would conceivably make it a federal charge. I mean, we still don't know a lot about the alleged 17-year-old that they'd be potentially investigating. It does seem, though, John, like it would be pretty simple to find out if Matt Gaetz ever asked for a pardon, right? Like Matt Gaetz has said he's been taken out of context, but yesterday we heard from President Trump saying, well, no, he never asked me for a pardon. So what have your sources told you?
Well, it would be simple in a normal White House. Let's not forget, we're in the Joe Biden world now where things are pretty much the way they used to be. Donald Trump's White House was the Wild West. Anybody would throw any request in from all different ways. As one of Donald Trump's lawyers once said to me, there is no pardon system for the Trump administration. We just do it our way. And in the case of Gaetz, our understanding is that he did go to the White House with that request. He went to multiple people at the White House.
President Trump should pardon Michael Flynn. He should pardon the Thanksgiving turkey. He should pardon everyone from himself to his administration officials to Joe Exotic if he has to.
We understand that Donald Trump was made aware of the request. Now, it doesn't mean that Trump and Gaetz had a direct conversation, Brad, but that's not how that White House operated. Let's be honest. We know that there were so many different ways people would try to get things done. There were back holes, back channels, name it.
He didn't come to me doesn't mean that he was not actively seeking it.
That is correct. So our understanding is that the White House was aware of it. They didn't know what the allegation or charges or possible case was that Gaetz was asking for this blanket pardon. But regardless, our understanding is that it went through the front door at 1600, quickly rejected.
The Department of Justice zeroing in on whether he and a local politician from his home state of Florida gave cash or other items of value to women they had sex with after they were recruited online.
Gaetz telling Axios he's, quote, a generous partner in his adult relationships.
who has paid for flights, for hotel rooms, and that now someone is trying to make that look criminal when it's not.
Yeah, we should say, even if he was asking for a pardon, that doesn't necessarily mean he would have known what he was being investigated for at the time. We did get a statement from President Trump yesterday expressing support for Matt Gaetz, but we've seen what it looks like when President Trump really supports it. Like, he would say, you know, everyone who doesn't support this guy is an idiot. Mm-hmm. That was not the reaction here, right? So I guess I'm kind of wondering, what is the reaction from other people in Gaetz's orbit?
Well, let's start with Trump world. Trump world is remarkably silent. To your point, Donald Trump and the Trump orbit is right up there first as the front line of defense for anybody. Double down, don't apologize. That's the usual Trump playbook. We have not heard from anybody, and that statement you reference, God, was it short.
Congressman Matt Gaetz has never asked me for a pardon, Trump said in a written statement. It must also be remembered that he has totally denied the accusations against him.
Barely two sentences and not a full-throated support for Matt Gaetz, who has definitely been a vocal supporter of President Trump. What we are hearing, though, Brad, from both Washington and Florida, where Gaetz is based, is pretty much the same story. Not a lot of allies, not a lot of support for Matt Gaetz. Some former colleagues and associates of his when he served in the Florida State House, they had nicknames for him. You know, he served around the same time as his father. So one of the nicknames we've heard is that they would call his father Daddy Gaetz, and Matt Gaetz would be referred to as Baby Gaetz. Another name we heard was Creepy Gaetz, because allegedly women that were around Gaetz found themselves made uncomfortable by him, and thus that was the label that was attached to him by multiple people that we've spoken to that had close associations with Matt Gaetz during his time in the Florida legislature.
Look, I haven't heard from DOJ. I haven't been able to talk to Matt Gaetz yet. I just read the story.
But more and more, Brad, it's remarkable that no one's really coming out and defending any of him here. I mean, you saw that statement from Kevin McCarthy.
Those are serious implications. If it comes out to be true, yes, we would remove him if that was the case. But
if it's true, they would force him off committees, et cetera. Right. But this is still raising so many questions around Washington. The most interesting thing, though, is that everyone, when they hear the allegations, Brad, no one is coming out and saying, gee, that can't be true.
The New York Times reporting that as recently as last year, the men allegedly told women to meet at hotels, sometimes giving them cash from the hotel's ATM, and that some of the encounters reportedly involved the drug ecstasy.
Many people have remarked to us that Gaetz was always bragging about his relationships. He showed photos of women to other colleagues of his in the United States House of Representatives.
Well, his own denials are like, yeah, I've had lots of relationships with really younger women, not underage women.
That's exactly right. So normally when you try to get a story away, you just blanket say it's not true. There's a little bit of daylight there, but this seems like it's got a long way to go as far as an investigation's concerned.
Yeah, and if you're wondering if Matt Gaetz would consider resigning from Congress, remember, he's on the Judiciary Committee. That specifically is supposed to keep an eye on the Department of Justice. Gaetz has emphatically said he has nothing to resign over. We'll see what happens. John Santucci, thank you.
Thank you, Brad.
Still to come, when actors can't get on-camera work, they do voiceovers. So what does a composer do as a side hustle? One last thing is on the way. Stick around.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
And one last thing. With way fewer movies being produced in the last year, what's a film composer to do? Hans Zimmer is one of the most famous score writers in the world. You've heard him in Pirates of the Caribbean, League of Their Own, The Lion King. Like, instrumentals are oozing out of this guy.
He did the music for all three films in director Christopher Nolan's Dark Knight trilogy.
You start somewhere. You know, and there's like a question in that.
Well, now a Chinese cell phone company named Oppo has announced that they hired Hans Zimmer to compose their ringtones. Now, the company's not releasing the actual ringtones or sound effects. They want you to buy the phone. But they did release this broader score from Zimmer. You're hearing it now. And some of the sound effects are embedded in this. So everyone's wondering, oh, is that what the alarm is going to sound like? Is that my text notification?
I want the ringtone to open the door that says there's the possibility to feel something.
And this is not Zimmer's first time getting paid for commercial work. You know the sound of Netflix starting up? Netflix actually paid Zimmer to come in and make a more cinematic version of that sound for their movies. But with theaters opening up, composers are busy again. Hans Zimmer is getting to work on the new Top Gun movie this summer. But don't let anyone tell you they're above a side hustle. Hans Zimmer, by the way, actually composed my favorite action movie, which is The Rock. Don't judge. All right, The Rock is good. I don't know if it holds up, but whatever. I like it. Hit us up on Twitter with your favorite film scores at Start Here ABC. I'm Brad Milkey. See you tomorrow.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.